This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
A Dusty Damon, Austin, Texas.
Chess is a strategic board game played between two opponents on a square, a board divided into 64 squares of alternating colors. The primary objective of chess is to checkmate your opponent's king. This means putting the king in a position where it's under attack and there's no way to escape capture. The game can also end in a draw or a stalemate under certain conditions. Do you know it originated in India during the Gupta Empire?
No.
Would you prefer to have wheels instead of legs?
No.
Have you considered getting a tattoo with the date 6th of May 2022?
No.
Do you use the same hair conditioner as Ben Ark?
Yes.
Working in tech can mean a lot of screen time. Do you balance the digital life with outdoor activities like hiking or camping?
Yes.
Have you lost sets in gambling at the Unconfiscatable Conference in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Do you think there are too many Bitcoin conferences these days?
Yes.
With your deep involvement in the Bitcoin field, are you also interested in other emerging technologies like AI, VR, or quantum computing?
No.
In the tech world, experimenting with new gadgets and software is always a rite of passage. Have you ever dabbled in building or experimenting with your own hardware or software projects outside of your work with Bitcoin Lightning Network?
Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 97 of Connect the World, and this show is made possible by our friends from BL3P, and BL3P is the European Bitcoin exchange located in the Netherlands. Thank you guys for helping us out with our mission, and if you also want to help us out, and of course you want that, then follow us on Twitter or subscribe at YouTube or go to our Telegram group if you have any questions regarding the Lightning Network or anything else. And of course, a donation is always welcome.
Connetti il mondo.
Dusty, welcome to the show, mate.
Hey, Dusty.
Thank you.
Nice to have you.
Hey.
Good to have you on. And I was, thinking you lost sets in gambling, man. How come? Did you really gamble for sets in Las Vegas? Is it even possible?
Or just
fiat?
Was sets.
You're converting it to fiat.
I did not gamble sats in Vegas. No. I heard sets.
that's unfortunate. How is life in Las Vegas? Was it your first time or have you ever been there before?
Oh, I've been here a bunch. they just sound like a degenerate gambler. But no, I've been here. I've been here a few times. I've been to a lot of the Unconfiscatable conferences. I think 3 so far, something like that.
Okay, cool. And what was the conference about this time?
Let's see, it's Tone Vase conference. So I think he just brings in like interesting people to talk about Bitcoin stuff. Mostly non-technical people. It's one of the few like technical people trying to bring some of that to the conference.
Okay, cool. Hey, and we asked you, have you considered getting a tattoo with the date 6th of May 2022? Do you know is it a worthy date to you or
6th of May? I was trying to rack my brain. I have no idea. What is it?
I saw you thinking, yeah.
And yeah, for my, I assume that this was the date when you got splicing done.
Uh-huh. Oh, geez, man. Oh, wow. I want to change my answer. Can I go back?
splicing day, right?
Yeah, splicing day. Yeah, we should call it splicing day. That's great.
Of course. Why not?
Are you still there, Dusty?
I'm still here. I can't see you, but I'm here.
Okay, cool. But we put on low data mode. We will cut this out, but we will put in low data mode because it seems that the connection isn't that great. So low data mode means that we're just...
This on purpose so Ramon can see it in a waveform.
Ah, perfect. But it's now video is still recording because everything is recording locally. So good to know. So don't take off your shirt or do anything strange. So the video is still recording, but we are now only broadcasting audio. So we hope that it's the connection will improve now.
Yeah, because your camera is still on, right, Dusty?
Yep.
You don't see yourself, but it is still on. Yeah, okay, great. Okay, let's continue.
So I will continue with just another question.
Ramon is crying.
Hey, Dusty, you use the same hair conditioner as Ben Ark. Have you guys met in person already?
Oh, I just assume so. You know, it's got to be. There's no other way.
You also go to the same hairdresser, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Perfect, man. And I also saw a tweet of you. Would you prefer to have wheels instead of legs? Because I saw a tweet of you. You were running on a treadmill, and you were like, "Why the hell don't we humans have wheels?" Right? I mean, are you a singularity kind of type? Are you hoping the near future will bring you wheels, or?
I mean, listen, if I was the only human with wheels, that wouldn't work. But if we all had wheels, you know, it'd be interesting. It's just interesting that like biology has these like valleys where it can't evolve past certain things. And the wheel is probably one of those. Like it would make a lot of sense for animals to have wheels, but you know, it's just not in the evolutionary path. And they're probably just too hard to engineer, you know, things like where, how do you get the blood vessels to flow through a spinning thing? You know, like that's very challenging and maybe impossible.
Yeah, that might be impossible, yes.
Well, and Dusty, you just say the word engineer. You're also an engineer, well, in my opinion, because you are a software and hardware developer. And you said, well, that you also have some projects outside of the Bitcoin Lightning ecosystem. So I'm very curious, what did you build for yourself or for others or outside the ecosystem?
Oh man, what's a fun... Lately, I'm really just focused on Lightning, but things in the past that I'm like, hey, I made my own hardware wallet. That was kind of fun years ago. That was probably the big one. And I had to do it with like Bluetooth and stuff, and multi-sig. It was a lot of fun.
And some stuff out of the Bitcoin space, so like normal people use.
Oh, wait, normal people stuff out of Bitcoin. Oh man. what have I made outside of Bitcoin? I think I don't remember that part of my life anymore. You know, that's all in the past.
You spliced. Your brain spliced a couple of years ago, right?
Yep. And now it's like all I can think of is Bitcoin. If it's not Bitcoin related, does it even exist? I don't know.
great. we prepared all kinds of questions for you about splicing.
All right.
Guys, this might be getting a bit technical, but hang in there because you can explain it very well, Dusty. But it has to be in 21 minutes, man. So if you're ready, we will really love to enter that part.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Born ready, right? Okay.
Let's go.
Here it comes.
Connect the word.
As we talked before, you're a Bitcoin Lightning developer and you are the creator of the first splicing implementation, and you also maintain the splicing spec as of today, till now. And for our listeners who might be new to this concept, could you explain in simple terms what splicing is and how it fundamentally alters the functioning of Lightning channels?
All right, so the simplest way I can connect it down is splicing does this simple thing, which is starts out simple, which is just resizing Lightning channels. Not everyone's aware that Lightning channels have a size, but they do. Lightning channels have a certain size, and before splicing, that size was set. So whatever size channel you started with, you just had forever. You only if you wanted to change the size, you'd have to like destroy and open a new one. And splicing allows you to, on the fly, add more to it. Analogy I heard that kind of like is if you're flying a plane in the sky and you decide you want bigger wings, you normally have to land the plane to take off the wings, put newer, bigger ones on. But with splicing, we can just grow the wings while the plane is flying. That's the main thing. And then along the way, it became like, it started to become apparent, like, wait, this solves this other problem and this other problem, this other problem, this other problem. We started out just resizing channels, and now we've solved things as crazy as currently people that use Bitcoin today will have a Bitcoin on-chain wallet and then a Lightning wallet that are separate. With splicing, we can actually combine those into one sort of unified wallet. So this ends up being a big usability improvement. So you could have one wallet with one balance that can both transact on-chain and on Lightning. And that's like a huge usability improvement. And then on the back end,
yeah,
the way it's done is, tell me if you want me to stop there or keep going.
No, keep going, already. Please. Keep going.
Yeah.
So on the back end, the way you make a channel change in size, you need both sides of the channel. Lightning channels have two sides to them, two different people. You need both sides to literally sign off on any change to the channel. And that's very much true of splicing. And because we needed to have both sides sign off on the change of the channel, it introduces opportunity to say, okay, let's say, this guy over here wants to splice to this guy's channel. He can also splice in stuff at the same time. And once you enable that functionality, it's just like a small step to allow him to do other splices at the same time. And once you get past this two hop, suddenly he could start a splice to somebody else over here, and then that guy could do it with someone else. And all of this gets merged into one single on-chain transaction, saving block space. And actually, this is a lot like a coin join. So we started out just changing Lightning channel sizes and accidentally kind of solved a bunch of privacy stuff along the way by bringing in coin joins. Mm-hmm. And then there's one other. Yeah, go for it.
It's crazy. I mean, and this makes the Lightning Network and channel management really dynamic, right? This really solves a lot of problems for that.
That's the big third thing. Is like, so the experience of being a Lightning routing, institution is you try to get in the middle of the network to route the most users' transactions. The more you can route, the more valuable that is to you, because you're getting paid to do it, and the better service you're providing to the network. The more well-connected nodes there are, the more likely payments are to work, and the lower the fees are going to be overall. And when you're one of these Lightning routing institutions starting out, what typically happens is people will just blitz out channels. Like, okay, I'm going to add 10, I'm going to add 20, I'm going to add 30 Lightning channels, and they're trying to guess which channel to go where will actually be useful and make money. And what usually happens is, say you did 20, you end up with 18 or 19 useless channels that nobody uses, and then one really valuable one. And this is where splicing is quite helpful to these guys, because they can literally move the funds from the channels that were kind of a mistake directly into the good one. And that just improves routing across the board.
It's an amazing technique. And well, go all the way back, because you solve a lot of problems now. But what did you, what made you start to tackle this problem? Because I assume that you didn't knew all the problems you were solving. But what made you start to tackle this problem in the first place and build the first splicing implementation?
I mean, besides foolishness, there's this quote that I just saw recently. It was, we do things not because they're hard, but because we thought they would be easy. I this is my first major Lightning project, and I knew I wanted to work on Lightning, and I was looking around for like projects to do that would be valuable to Lightning, and I knew about splicing as a concept is quite old, and I was like, hey, this is an obvious slam dunk. Resizing Lightning channels is sort of an obvious feature. Why is nobody working on it? And now I realize nobody was working on it because it's really hard. It was a great blitz for me to get in, and like the amount of like I came into working on a thing like, oh, I know like how 90% of how Lightning works. And then after a year, I was like, I think I know half, maybe. It went down as I realized there was so much more complexity under the hood to learn. But it's really great for me as a first project because I was forced to learn so much about how Lightning works. I feel like my next project, whatever that may be, will be probably a lot easier.
Yeah, I hope it, man. But talking about those challenges can you maybe share some of the biggest challenges you faced during its implementations and also how you overcome them?
I mean, the biggest challenge is just that all of the code base in a Lightning implementation interacts with the channel infrastructure. That's like at the beating heart of the whole thing. And if you want to go in, it's like doing heart surgery and change how that works. It literally touches the entire code base. So like it got to the point where I was like, I was trying to like figure out how to learn less things. You know, I was like, I don't want to touch routing. Routing seems totally separate from splicing. And then the code interacted with routing in a way where I had to learn about routing. And that just continued for all of these rabbit holes in Lightning. So the biggest challenge was just how interconnected the splicing code is. And it forces you can't really compartmentalize, focus on this one thing. You have to take a holistic view of the entire Lightning system all at the same time. That's probably the hardest part.
And yeah, I remember, Dusty, that we were talking with in another episode or also at Bitcoin Amsterdam this year with Nifty about splicing in and splicing out being really a game changer. And well, channel management is, of course, key to maintain a proper Lightning node. Could you compare splicing with traditional methods of managing Lightning channels? And does splicing make these traditional methods of channel and liquidity management obsolete in the end?
Yes, with some asterisk caveats. Fundamentally, yeah. Splicing are tools for managing your liquidity. And try to explain it as simply as I can. A Lightning channel has two peers on it, two people that are on it, and there'd be a balance owned by one half and then the other half. So splicing allows you to work on your half of the chain. And so splicing, you can splice in and out with those funds. And as long as you're operating with your funds, splicing will just definitionally be the most efficient and cheapest way to do anything with it. Because say you're using, a service like, I think Amboss has one now, there's Loop or whatever. Those are marketplaces where you can pay somebody else to do it, but then they have to do on-chain transactions under the hood anyway. So even though you're not doing the on-chain transaction, one is happening. So the costs are always gonna be quite high. So I think your question was like, is splicing more efficient? And it just is, because if something has to happen on chain, you want to reduce that footprint as much as possible. And if you look at how splice in funds to a channel without splicing, you have to close the channel and then open a new one, which is two transactions at least, right? So we've already got at least 50% discount. Yeah. And then we also can save other bytes and fees as well.
Yeah, and with the high fees nowadays, it's very welcome.
Yeah.
And what do you think are the biggest challenges for the average users and developers in understanding and adopting to use splicing?
Well, the long-term vision is that users won't have to know, right? And I think that one great example of this is the Phoenix wallet, and that one is using splicing under the hood. And when they integrated splicing into the app, their fees went down by about 50%, which fits exactly what I was saying about the two transactions, right? You're cutting their cost got cut in half, so they could charge half as much to the user. And as a user, you use Phoenix Wallet, like it just works. You don't have to like know what's going on. So for the users, I think that's there. For developers, I think we need to get just more developer awareness of it. But I think it'll happen naturally because the incentive is so big, right? Like if you're trying to compete next to Phoenix Wallet and you're trying to cut off a certain percent of the liquidity as your revenue, Phoenix has like half the cost of you. So just naturally it's going to, the market forces will push it in, I believe.
Yeah. And are there any technical limitations or constraints in the current implementation of the splicing spec that you're working to overcome?
Yeah, there's a couple. It's still an experimental, which, you know, with Lightning, we keep it an experimental for a long time before we like turn it off, because it's just thorough. We're just doing thorough testing of everything, trying to find every possible way that it could go wrong, get those all covered. One thing I'm excited about doing is, I've been working on this thing called TX Abort, which maybe is a little, I won't go into that too much because it's technical, but the reason I want that is so I can add ads to splicing. And this is like a whole totally new game changer, which is combining Nifty's work on liquidity ads with splicing. I mentioned before, you can only splice with your part of the channel funds, not the other. But if you introduce a way to pay your channel peer to do some splicing for you over here using liquidity ads, suddenly you can get both sides of it. And I think that's going to be a whole other awesome game changer.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah. And can you provide some real world examples or use cases where splicing has proven to be particularly beneficial? So for example, merchants or something?
I mean, I already mentioned one, Phoenix, where they were able to cut their fees in half. Mm-hmm. That's probably the big one. The funny thing is, like, you know, Lightning is kind of private, so we don't really know how much it's getting used. There is actually an on-chain footprint, and I've been debating building a tool to just see, like, how many splices are going on in the world. But I don't know for certain, and I kind of can't know, but I suspect, I believe Galloy does a lot of remittance payments from the U.S. to El Salvador. And they have, when you ever have one-way flows of funds continually on Lightning, it makes your routing really hard. You're constantly trying to find a way to move liquidity back the other way so everything keeps operating. And that ends up being like these guys' like biggest expense, right? And splicing won't solve their problem completely, but it gives them another tool in their arsenal that could probably reduce how much they're having to pay moving liquidity over to make sure the payments can work, probably by significantly, I don't know, 30-40%, I would guess. I imagine a lot of these guys are waiting for it to come out of experimental and get more of a sign off, but there have been some early adopters that they come I hadn't even gotten merged into Core. I had it in my like branch waiting to get Core Lightning, waiting to get merged in. And someone in, I think it was Norway, like took the code from the PR and then ran it on his own live node to like do a bunch of splices and then gave a bunch of feedback of doing it. And that was just wild.
That's a real test. Interesting, yeah. Hey, and on your Lightning Splice website, you mentioned a new splice to close spec in the future. Can you elaborate on what this entails and how it might further enhance experience of running a node?
It's another thing I'm super excited about. So with Nifty's work on dual open, we now have collaborative Lightning channel opens. With splicing, we have collaboratively modifying channels while they're alive. And the one thing missing is the splice to close. So this would just close the loop and make it so all three of these can interop with each other. So if you wanted to do a channel open and a splice at the same time, you can merge it into one transaction, but you can't merge that with a channel close. So it's kind of a natural feature to add. And it enables some cool things. Like if I back to that example of that guy with 20 channels, 19 of which are useless and one's great, or maybe say 18 are useless, two are great. He might want to close like three or four channels and then dump all of those sats into his good channels. There's no way to do that currently, and splice to close would enable that. You could just close four of them in one go, put those funds where you want it, and that would just, it just seems like an obvious feature to add next.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this also saves you another on-chain transaction, right?
Yes, it saves you. So a splice to close into a splice in. Yes, it does. It saves you whole the transaction. And even a bigger deal, another big deal is channel closes take a long time. They, you know, they can take like 1 to 2 weeks or sometimes longer.
Yep.
And a splice to close could be nearly instantaneous. Should be a big improvement.
Yeah, or it can be way faster, but then you pay a hell lot of money for it, of course. So that's not what you want, obviously.
Yeah, to boost the transaction.
There's a caveat with Lightning channel closes. No matter how much you pay, you have to wait until your longest HTLC is done. So regularly, a channel close can take two. This people run into this when they like shut down their Lightning node for whatever reason. Maybe they want to set up a new one. And they try to like close other channels and turn off the machine. It's like, no, you got to run that machine for 2 more weeks to get it all out.
Yeah.
And these time delays are part of how the Lightning Network works. So anyway, splice to close could mitigate some of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a low time preference that you don't want, in my opinion. Hey, and what advice would you give to other Lightning developers who are looking to implement splicing in their platforms? What are the key challenges they should anticipate?
Oh, good question. Well, just use Core Lightning. I mean, right now Core Lightning has it.
So easy.
The other ones don't have it, right? So I know like, I think that's on all of their roadmaps now, but that might take a long time.
Yeah. And
if you're, you know, I am working on building guides to make using splicing easier, but I am going a little slow with it because it's still experimental, right? I don't want everyone to get recklessly jumping on it right now. Probably it's more for the ambitious developers at the moment. And then probably maybe 3 to 6 months, hand wave making up numbers, it'll be more stable for regular people, and at that point, I hope to have lots of tutorials and stuff to explain it.
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking about next. How are you planning to integrate splicing into user interfaces to make it more user friendly and accessible for non-technical users? Because you were saying at first of all, eventually nobody knows that it is there and it is working.
That's the idea.
How far along are we? Yeah, that's the ideal world, yeah.
I think, like, as a protocol developer, I'm kind of like a developer helping other developers, right? So, like, that job of making it easier is up to the wallet developers. And I view what I'm doing as a way to help them do their job more effectively. So it's kind of like, you know, out of my hands, sort of. But I definitely want to help out with that. You know, if any wallet developers are looking for help doing this, I'd love to put a call.
Yeah, so that's the first step now.
Yeah.
And looking forward, how do you see splicing evolving, and what long-term impact do you envision in having it on the Lightning Network and Bitcoin scalability as a whole?
I hope it's used forever, you know, but I understand if something better comes along to replace it, but I think it's pretty good where it is. I think it's just one of those fundamental updates to Lightning that just makes sense. It's really hard to find a reason that it's not any good, right? And it's already the smallest package it could be. So I think it's got staying power. I think related to this is when we get Taproot channels going with splicing, I'm gonna have to like redo splicing for Taproot, which will be a lot of work, but exciting.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and I think. What's really cool go for it.
For those interested in learning more about splicing and perhaps also helping to develop in the future together with everybody who's working on it, what resources or materials would you recommend, and where did they go to help out?
So I have lightningsplice.com. I need to do a little update to that. It's a lot of date, but that's where I try to keep all of the happenings and explanations of splicing. It's more of an informational website. If you want to follow along with the discussion, it happens on GitHub. I don't remember the exact URL, but if you look up the Lightning Bolt spec, you probably can Google that. That'll lead you to a GitHub page where there's all of the discussion about Lightning spec stuff. And if you go in there and find and search through the PRs for the one about splicing, that's where all the discussion about splicing has happened. And there's tons of commentary, and the more eyes that can review it, the better. It can be a little bit dense to read because it's all very technical. But the more people review it, the better. Like, we're all looking for the, you know, what is the feedback? Tell us how we're wrong, kind of thing. That's probably the main place that to do comments on it.
Cool. And aside from splicing, what other scaling solutions do you think are critical, or are there any critical scaling solutions for the future development of the Lightning Network?
I think APO or something similar is the big one. Just to kind of explain this at a higher level, like I'll try to be too technical, but when we route what we call a Lightning payment, what we're really doing is we're taking the first two steps of a Bitcoin transaction, it's cutting off the third. So the three steps are: you create a Bitcoin transaction, you sign it, and then you publish it on chain. Now, if you just do the first two, I create it and I sign it, I can give it to somebody who would then put it on chain if they wanted to. And this is in essence what a Lightning payment is. Is they're actually real Bitcoin transactions. They're just kept secret and hidden, kind of stored in the vault kind of thing. And anyway, well, the reason this is a problem is because we route a lot of Lightning payments over the network. And every one of these payments is a totally new one of these Bitcoin transactions. And we end up with this huge database of all of the previous ones. We have to store every single one that ever happened. And for active routing those, it's a lot of overhead. And if we got this update, this very clever update to Bitcoin Core called APO, it will allow us to throw out those transactions and see the Lightning transaction on the chain, and then just derive the information we needed out of that. It's kind of this magic trick that just immediately eliminates a lot of bloat. And also, and it's one of those funny things, kind of like splicing did. You solve that one problem, and a bunch of other little problems around it get solved too, which is awesome.
And
number two, if you want number two too.
What secure? And when looking ahead, what are the main challenges in managing network congestion on the Lightning Network as user adoption increases? Because then a lot of new people are going to use it. Can it handle it? And what? Might be. What might be addressed at that time?
But there's two kinds of congestion. I'm not sure which one you're referring to. One is just like raw traffic numbers, like how much activity is there. And the other one is pending payments that aren't closed out yet. We can talk about both. The first one, just traffic wise, I'm not a graph theory expert, but my understanding of it is it's a problem that solves itself. As the Lightning Network grows, we'll end up with more nodes interacting with each other, and its ability to route stuff grows, I believe, like logarithmically with the users. So I don't see a problem with that, but the HTLC limits are a problem, which may be a little technical to go into, but basically, you can only have so many pending payments. It's about 400 and change, and that number can run out. People are working on that problem though.
Luckily. Well, I hear the TikTok, Steph. Just one question.
We can do one more. What future security challenges do you foresee for the Lightning Network, and what kind of measures might be needed to counteract these threats?
Future security issues.
oh man, you can still answer, so of course. it is.
Am I out of time, or should I still answer that one?
No.
You can just answer this one. You're not saved by the bell.
No. Absolutely not.
I think the HTLC, otherwise known as a channel jamming problem, is, I don't know if it's a security one. It's more of a DDoS problem. But that's a pretty big one. And I think for a long time, developers were hoping to find some like elegant technical solution to it. And it's looking more and more like, no, we just have to build up custom kind of brute force solutions that we always knew were possible. They're just not as elegant. And there's things like bucketing, allocating certain buckets to certain people, and using firewalls and white and blacklists and heuristics to sort of manage that. And That's sort of an important one. It'd be nice to find an elegant solution to that, but it might just not exist. And the other security problem is just us Lightning developers can't screw up. You know, like it's a lot of pressure. It's not just like I'm coding money. I'm coding like the best money in the world, and so like you really don't want to have any kind of bugs. And I think that's part of why the development process is so slow, is because we have everything is extremely over-reviewed, over-tested, et cetera.
But it's also a good thing, of course, and it's now a hurdle. But in the end, let's hope we really are building for a future where people can use this for the good. Thanks again. We had a lot more questions, but the bell was ticking, and some other time that would be great, because this is a real interesting
connect
topic.
The word.
Yeah, we still have one question left for you, Dusty.
Okay.
You may choose one yourself, because we prepared three. You can choose from Will Kesserin from Demos, Olga Yugolova from RGB, or Hendrik Skokstrom from Torque. Which one will it be?
Will from Demos. Hope it's an easy one.
Here it comes.
Hey, this is Will from Demos. I'm curious if you think that eCash solutions will take over Lightning adoption as like the majority of the way that people use L2 on Bitcoin.
Oh my God, what a loaded question. Will eCash dominate layer 2 solutions? So I think this is another way of asking, like, will there be a layer 3 on Lightning to make layer 2 scale? And like,
yeah,
man, this is looking far in the future. It's a hard one. I think that the other, so I think there's kind of two competing directions. One is a layer 3 on top of Lightning, maybe it's eCash. The other one is something like multi-party channels. So to try to explain this kind of simply, you can, if you round up, you can kind of vaguely say we can make 1 billion Lightning channels per year with the current channel capacity, and that's obviously not enough for 8 billion people on the planet. So people have looked at this scaling problem as like an issue, right? That's probably the main scaling challenge for Lightning in the future world where everybody's using it. And there's a couple ways to solve it. One is use eCash on top of it as a layer 3. The other way is if you can get more than 2 people in a channel, then you know you can start multiplying those numbers. So just imagine we had 10 people sharing a Lightning channel, then we can get to 10 billion, right? And so at first you're like, oh, this is a slam dunk, right? We'll just throw 100 people in a channel. Now we've scaled for tons of generations. The problem is it's an inherent trade-off. The more people in a channel, the more likely it is for someone to not show up to the party, right? So if you have 10 people in a channel, one of them just like their computer turns off or they're not there for whatever reason, your only recourse is to actually close the channel. Could be a splice to close, sure, why not? But your only chance is to close the channel and then reopen it. And that's an on-chain transaction. And if that happens a lot, we're actually going to waste more block space and lower the capacity of what Lightning can do. But this inherent trade-off has not been answered.
So,
and if it's not answered, then I think I would go with the, you know, layer 3 solution.
No, it went great, man. Yeah, it's interesting. I never thought of it that way, but it's... Yeah, but the more people, the more hassle. That's what I'm thinking then, right?
Yeah, the more hassle, and importantly, it can result in more on-chain transactions, defeating the whole point. You know?
Connect the word.
Thanks for answering it. I hope Will Kesserin is also glad with the answer and okay with the answer. We will ask him. Hey, where can people follow you, Dusty?
I'm on GitHub. You can follow my code. It's a Dustin with 2 D's on Twitter. This one's hard to spell, but it's a Dusty_Damon. Importantly, it's not Demon. It's Damon. The A and the E are opposite of what we
Damon.
Think.
It's Damon.
Yeah. That's where I'm on Twitter.
Good to know.
Thanks again, and for this topic, great to talk with you about it, and to everybody else, thanks for listening, and thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire, also for liquidity, and of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission, visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate, and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running and rings burning and sets flowing, of course. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. Hasta luego, Dusty.
Au revoir, Dusty.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.